I need to make a little announcement, and I hope to only have to make it one time, and you can make that possible. I am pressed into service by those who are responsible for our Vacation Bible School this year, and some of you know who that is. And there's a new sign-up table out there, and if you'll go ahead and sign up and fill those up, then you'll keep me from having to make this announcement every time I get up. For those of you who don't know, my daughter is one of the ones who's responsible for that. So if you'll just go ahead and sign that up, and the last thing that she said as I left this morning, Dad, you're going to make that announcement, aren't you? And she will say that every time until it's all done. Happy Easter to you. I'm a little bit sad today because I have a lesson that I'm really excited about, but I'm walking a really fine line up here because I'm only able to operate out of the top part of my lungs, because if I say something too forcefully, I'll start coughing and it'll all be over. So I'm really walking a fine line. So in the back of your mind, have a little prayer for me that I don't start coughing. And it's no fair for any of you to be praying that I do start coughing. Okay, so. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it says, In the past, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets in a number of different ways and in a variety of ways and at different times. And there's been only a few times when God spoke directly from heaven. And we could go back, and you can go back in your mind and remember a few of those times, but some of the last times was at Jesus' baptism and Jesus' transfiguration. But I want to share with you this morning some messages from God that he communicated the day that Jesus died without saying a word. You know, the day, on the cross, interestingly, God didn't speak from heaven, not verbally. But there are things that are going to be happening on the earth and above the earth and inside the earth that is going, they're going to be signs that God is using to interpret what's going on. And so God is giving us a message through sign language while his son is hanging on the cross. And there are some really, really powerful messages that he's giving us. Most of the people, I'm confident, translated as best they were able to these signs as natural, but they were anything but natural. It was God's way of impressing on us the significant things about what was going on at that moment that his son was hanging on the cross. And the first gospel message in Acts chapter 2, verse 23, Peter said, "This man," talking about Jesus, "was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge." God not only knew what was happening on the earth, but he was orchestrating what was happening on the earth. And let that impress you, because there were some, from a worldly standpoint, there were some horrible things that were going on. And God wanted to make sure that the world would always know how important this event was and what it was accomplishing. And so let's look at these signs. The first one is, and it was in our scripture reading a little bit earlier, the sky got dark in the middle of the day. We would say that it was a solar eclipse. It was, interestingly, it got bright in the middle of the night where the shepherds were the day that Jesus was born. And it got dark in the middle of the day that God's son died. God has a way of grabbing our attention when he wants it, doesn't he? I mean, he can get your attention when he really wants it. In the Old Testament apocalyptic writings, some of the figurative signs that God used to depict the momentous events was the sun turned to darkness. And often he would say something like the moon turns to blood. And on this day, it literally happened. It wasn't figurative. The sun did, in fact, turn to darkness for 3 hours. And don't you know there was a lot of speculation about what was going on, the people, particularly those standing around Golgotha. What do you think it meant? That all of a sudden right here from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, it turned dark. What was God's message? Well, that apocalyptic message, as it foreshadowed in the Old Testament, always meant the very same thing. God's wrath is being poured out. This is Judgment Day. The Old Testament will call it in numerous places the Day of the Lord. And the Day of the Lord occurred a number of times in the Old Testament, fulfilled in primary prophecy. But it was always pointing toward the judgment of the Lord. The day when the Lord, the very fact that it's a light day, a beautiful bright day, and all of a sudden it turns to darkness. God intended for that to grab their attention and teach them something. Well, God's wrath is being poured out on whom? Well, it gives you a clue. Remember what Jesus cried out just before he died? My God, why have you forsaken me? What was happening at this moment? We don't have to speculate about it. We can know exactly what was happening. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says it this way. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become God's righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 demonstrates the certainty of God's judgment when it says, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell. Do you understand that when that sign was going on, Jesus was tasting hell for me and for you? Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Jesus was experiencing his Father's wrath, the payment for sin. And I have really strong suspicions that this is what he really dreaded in the garden. Not so much. Certainly, he dreaded the pain. But there was something much worse than the physical pain that he was going to undergo. And that is the separation from his Father as a payment for my sins. Do you understand? Do we really understand that God must punish sin? There will never be one single sin that is committed from Adam to whoever the last guy is that shuts the door. It's not punished with death. There is no other punishment for sin. God is righteous. But the good news is, God has punished my sin. God poured out his full wrath on his Son. All of it. He emptied the bowl of wrath. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, says the wages of sin is death. And we know that that death is separation from God. I don't know. I hope we'll never know what that must be like, to be separated from God and all that's good. And certainly, the one who did not count equality with God something to be held on to, but he emptied himself. He knew what it was like. We've never known what it was like to be in God's presence fully. But he knew what it was like. And so he knew what he was giving up. He knew the price. And all the punishment that our sins deserve, God applied to Jesus. And the good news is, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 25 and 26, nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, but he has now appeared once for all to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Sin is punished but once. There's no double jeopardy in this deal. And do you understand, this is what makes it apply to me, and this is what makes it good news for me. Christ died for your sins once for all, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. The righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And in that darkness, as they stood around the cross, and I'm convinced it was really, really dark, and they contemplated, what must this mean? God's giving a message. I'm pouring out all of the bowls of wrath on my son because of your sins. He's bearing your burden. And you know, there is no double jeopardy in God's judgment court, and that's the Bible's argument when it says we died with Christ in Romans chapter 6. You know what it's talking about when it says that? We were conjoined with him in his death and in his burial and in his resurrection. We get the benefits and the blessings of what happened that day on the cross. And we come in contact with that event in our life in Romans chapter 6. And something that many people just say, well, that's really not important. But you don't understand. That's when you gain the full benefit of what Christ has done, and that is in baptism, Romans chapter 6. That you are joined with Christ in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. And that's how it comes to bear on my life. And the good news is, I am not going to be punished for my sins. God was giving a message, wasn't he? And then there was some other things that happened. One of the other things that happened is the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. And if you'll go back and read about the construction of that veil, that curtain between the holy place and the most holy place, you'll know that that was no natural event. That thing was a thick wool curtain, extremely heavy. Jesus died about 3 p.m. in Jewish time, the ninth hour. And at the moment he died, there was something else that was going on inside the city, at the temple site. Because it was the hour that priests were offering the evening sacrifices. And the temple was full of priests at that time, because this was the high holy day. And there were thousands and thousands of animals that were being slaughtered. And it was going on at that moment when Jesus died. Remember in Acts chapter 6 verse 7, it will say later, and this is just a little aside here, that a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. I wonder how many of them had been there with blood all over their hands from these animals, when all of a sudden they heard this incredible ripping sound and they looked up and that thing ripped. I wonder how many of them were the ones that were converted to the faith. What did the torn curtain mean? It meant that our debt to God has been paid. Let me explain. The curtain, the presence of the curtain, the very fact that the curtain had to be there, attested to God's holiness. You see, God cannot exist in the same realm with sin. And so there was this curtain there that secured the Holy of Holies. And the curtain said, men cannot come into God's presence. Not because of the curtain, but because of sin. Question. What do you suppose would have happened to a man who just decided he was going to slip past that curtain and go into the Holy of Holies? Well, we know what would happen, don't we? Even a priest, even the high priest, if he had done it at any time other than the time designated, he was a dead man. God would kill him right there on the spot. Sin is the barrier between man and God. And the torn curtain said, Jesus' death removed this barrier between us and God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, a new and living way opened up through us, or for us, through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. There used to be a curtain between us and God. Sin. But somebody ripped that curtain and took it out of the way. And can you imagine what it would have been like to be one of those priests with blood on your hands and that curtain was ripped? And now you can peek back into that holy of holies. Don't you know that those priests, when they saw that way was open, they went there and they started trying to close that thing back up again? And they turned their back to it and they wouldn't dare look inside there? Or maybe if there was some brave soul in there and they stuck their head through that rip into the holy of holies and everybody else thought that they were going to die on the spot and they didn't die? That's what the torn curtain represents. No more fear of punishment. Our debt has been paid. Now I can go into the Holy of Holies because God has made me a priest. And he has invited me into his presence. And I can go any time of day or night that I want to. In fact, I live in his presence. I live there. Every moment of every day. God's teaching an incredible lesson, isn't he? And there's some beautiful, beautiful things. No more bondage to your past. That's what the torn curtain represents. Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, boldly, so that we may receive mercy. I'm not going to get what I deserve. And find grace. He's going to give me what I don't deserve, what I need but don't deserve, to help us in our time of need. God's preaching a powerful sermon, and he's not saying a word. And then the third thing, the earth began to shake, verse 51. The earth shook, and the rocks split. In some way, the death of Jesus brought a death sentence to death. Did you get it? The death of Jesus brought a death sentence to death. He proved that death was no big deal. He said, if you kill me in 3 days, I'll be back. God is proving that our biggest enemy has been conquered. And I want you to notice something. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus rose for our sins. It says he died for our sins. But a lot of folks have died. You understand what I'm saying? And people who saw Jesus die, that didn't necessarily mean anything other than just another man died. Maybe somebody who had some grandiose claims. And so I wouldn't know for sure what that death meant if he hadn't put an exclamation point behind it. And you know what the exclamation point was? Up from the grave he arose. That death meant something more than any death had ever meant before. That death meant that death is not the end. Death has been sentenced to death. The stinger has been pulled, Paul will write in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56. Death's stinger's been pulled out. The resurrection is proof that sin's wages have been paid in full. And you notice that God only opened certain tombs. You're aware, right, that when the rocks shook and there were graves that were opened and there were holy people that came out. You notice that there were only certain graves that were opened. Not all the graves were opened. It says the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. And Matthew's the only one who mentions this. And I wish we knew more about it. But that Jerusalem cemetery was an old cemetery. And there were certainly some interesting folks in that cemetery. And it doesn't say that those who rose were recently dead. Jesus' blood cleansed those both before his death and after his death. And those people who rose that day when he died, those people had died before he had. And the empty tombs that day say Jesus opened up the way for all men of all times to be with God eternally. Death cannot hold God's children. In 1 Corinthians 15:55, death has been swallowed up in victory. How? Hebrews 2:14 and 15, since children have flesh and blood, he, Christ, too, shared their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. That's me and you. You afraid of dying? Don't be. There is no reason to be. I'm not saying that there's not some sadness associated with leaving people that you love, but you're going to be with them again, and you're going to be in a far better place. God's preaching an incredibly powerful message. He took the fear out of dying, and he provides us with the ultimate security. It was like God is saying, in 3 days, you're going to witness the single most incredible event of all times. But I want you to know that it's real, and I want you to know that your time is coming. And I want you to know that I can do it to whomever, whenever, and wherever I please. At the moment Christ died, on Friday about 3 o'clock, about 1,976 years ago, God provided 3 miraculous signs to teach us that God's righteous wrath has been poured out and my sins have already been punished. With a torn curtain, he was saying that we have a holy God who invites us into his presence without fear, because now there's nothing to separate us from him. And with the earthquake and the tombs, he was saying death has been conquered. We have a guarantee that we'll be with him for all eternity. Today is Easter. It's Resurrection Day. Did you hear God's sermon? He didn't say a word. But he preached a powerful, powerful sermon. And he invites you, if you have not participated in the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, to do that this very day while we stand and sing.